This podcast is brought to you by our Let's Go Brandon t-shirt. Order it at gracecurlyshow.com. Enjoy the podcast.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
The Millennial with the Mic is the most listened to midday show in Boston.
We got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, the Spectator, and the Daily Mail. Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Get ready, pal.
It's Boston's number one midday show, The Grace Curley Show.
So take me right back to the track, Jack. Choo-choo, choo-choo, jaboogie, woo-woo.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. It's a big, big day because Joe Biden is going to give a press conference at 4 o'clock, which could mean 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, who knows. But the point is, he's going to be out there answering questions. Now, that doesn't mean they're going to be good questions, of course. This is the press. They'll probably ask him, you know, why is Orange Man so mean and what has he done lately that's been really bothering you? But still, it will be interesting to see him out there kind of going rogue. He will definitely have a list with him prepared, ABC, Mary, AP, Zeke, you know, all of his favorites. But I wouldn't rule Peter Ducey out. That one horse pony soldier might get a question in. And I'm more blown away by the amount of days he has to take to get himself prepared for a press conference.
I didn't get my English lessons.
That in itself is frightening. Joining me now to talk a little bit about this, as well as a lot of other issues that are happening specifically in LA, I'm bringing on Libby Emmons, one of my favorite guests from the Post Millennial. Libby, thanks so much for coming on.
Sure thing, Grace. Thanks for having me back.
All right, Libby, I think I want to start with this story that you wrote for the Post Millennial about the Union Pacific slamming the LADA for social justice crime policies leading to freight train thefts. Can you kind of break down for my audience what is happening here with these freight trains?
Yeah, so Union Pacific has, I think, about 9 yards in the LA area, and they ship all kinds of stuff through there, Amazon, FedEx packages, all kinds of things. And they have these freight trains have been getting ransacked. So the freight trains park in the yards. They have security. They have gates and locks and things. And it hasn't been enough to prevent people from breaking in to the yards, breaking into the trains, stealing packages, ripping packages open, and littering the tracks with the detritus from those packages. And it's been a real problem. So Union Pacific got in touch with the DA in Los Angeles, this guy George Gascon, who I believe is backed by, had a lot of campaign money from George Soros, and is very leftist. He had put into place a zero bail policy. So Union Pacific said to Gascon, we're catching people, your cops are catching people, you're releasing these people, and they're coming back and robbing us again. The people who are doing the thefts end up pleading down to trespassing, which is a misdemeanor, and they're right back out there doing it again. And of course, LA is having a quite the crime problem already.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought up the DA, because a lot of times when we see these stories, there's so much blame to be thrown around, on all sides of it, really. But the DAs, if they don't prosecute these criminals, then it kind of makes it impossible to stop the crime waves, because they're not really spending any time in jail. And it brings me to another story that I keep seeing, Libby, and it breaks my heart every time I read it. LAPD identifies suspect in stabbing of UCLA grad student Brianna Kupfer. She's just this young woman. She was working at a high-end furniture store, and she was killed. And similarly to what we were just discussing, this man, Sean Laval Smith, who allegedly killed her, he had been out several times. The cops actually told this young woman's father, who is now grief-stricken beyond belief, that this guy should have been in jail.
Yeah, and I think we're seeing that not just in this case in LA, but other cases across the country where people are committing crimes, then they are being released. You know, the The man who plowed his SUV into a parade in Waukesha, Wisconsin, also probably should have been in jail. The DA's office in Milwaukee said that though he was released on this small bond, I think it was maybe $1,000, that was some sort of error. So all these people's deaths, the Milwaukee's DA office says that it was just, you know, an error. So that's too bad. And this is happening all over the place. We have these really soft crime policies that are, of course, in the name of social justice. In Seattle, they are reducing what kinds of reasons police can stop, can make traffic stops. And that's an issue. In New York, we have a new DA coming in who also has plans to implement these social justice policies. And what they are is they may be good for criminals, but they certainly are not just for the society at all. To have criminals walking around just being released, they should be in jail. They should not be able to commit these kinds of crimes. And we're seeing it all over the place. I don't know why the DA's offices or why the progressive politicians think that the right thing to do is to destroy society and make our biggest cities unsafe so that criminals don't feel like they're being discriminated against.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought that up because in New York City, there was this horrible thing where a woman was pushed into the subway by a crazy man and she was killed. And right afterwards, I read a headline from Eric Adams, who I know you've been skeptical of, you know, how hard on crime he's going to be. And he said there was a perception of crime on our subways or a perception of fear or something along those lines. What is up mm-hmm. with this denial? It seems like the Democrats, the left in this country, is very committed to denying that any of this is a reality or any of this is a problem that needs to be solved.
I think that there is a great deal of denial going on, and I think it's in order to prop up an ideological perspective that is on track to destroy our best cities in the country. I don't know why they're doing it. It doesn't make any sense to me, but they're doing it not just with crime, but they're doing it with COVID and other things. I do think also that conservative media publications have been looking at all of these crime waves and have been reporting on it substantially more in order to point out the problems with our prosecutors' offices all across the country. So I do think that while conservative media has been bringing this more to the attention of the public, you know, Democrat politicians are basically just denying that it exists. And they're saying, you know, crime always exists and whatnot. And yes, that's true. We're never going to be able to stop all crime. There's always going to be crazy people. We live in society. That's what happens. You have to keep your head about you anyway. But the crime policies that we're seeing are only exacerbating and creating more issues. So, you know, Adams thinks it's totally safe to hang around in the New York City subways. He witnessed an assault himself while waiting for a J train in Brooklyn, I believe, on his first day in office this year. And he called it into 911. The lady gets shoved into the tracks over the summer. And I honestly don't take the subway as much as I used to for a variety of reasons, including that, you know, I got a car and it's safer to drive my car around. But I was on the subway, I think it was in July, and I was trying to get home and the subway stopped in the tunnel and I was looking around and there was a crazy man with a knife running along the tracks outside the subway car with a knife trying to get onto the subway. And the next thing I know, a bunch of cops get on the train and they actually ask the passengers, which way did he go? It was like a Bugs Bunny cartoon. And the guy's running back and forth, you know, outside the train car. Eventually they got him. We were delayed in the subway for maybe 20 or so minutes, which of course is an inconvenience. Nobody was hurt. And, you know, probably the guy was out on the street again the next day. So, yeah, it's very peculiar to watch almost the intentional destruction of our cities. And it happened during COVID too. You know, you had nobody's allowed to leave their houses unless you're protesting and burning down the city. That's allowed. But everything else, no school. Everyone has to stay home from work.
Yeah, and Libby, speaking of COVID, Biden's announcing he has a plan to provide Americans with 400 million free N95 masks. And I don't know if you were following this yesterday, but Glenn Youngkin was putting into effect a lot of executive orders that were not banning masks. That's what the left will tell you he was doing. But he was banning schools from being able to force kids to wear masks. And there was all of this backlash. It's amazing how, after all that we've gone through, the Democrats still don't understand that parents want to be able to make decisions for their own children.
Mm-hmm. You're exactly right. Of course they do. I do. And I think that the Biden administration's forcing of these masks, even though we have continual updates from the CDC that masks, cloth masks, aren't really that useful. Wearing loose-fitting medical masks aren't useful. The surgical masks themselves aren't useful. And now we're all supposed to walk around in these K95s. I'll be damned if one of these is showing up at my house and I'm putting it on my face. There's no way. I'm not putting my kid in one of these things. There's just no reason for it. And we have this Omicron, right, this new variant that is so much less mild when you contract it, though it is more contagious. But, you know, if it's really that mild, then what's the big deal? Maybe we all get antibodies. I'm not a doctor, fact checkers. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a medical expert. But it does seem crazy to me that we're still so gung-ho about this case issue, even though, you know, it just doesn't seem as dangerous as it once was.
Absolutely. Libby Evans, thank you so much for coming on the show. Libby, can you give everyone your Twitter, and can you also tell them where you did your interview yesterday that is going completely viral?
Oh, is it? That was a fun interview. I was on Monday night. I was on Tim Pool's show, TimCast. I had a great time with Andy Ngo, who's the editor-at-large at the Post-Millennial, where I'm editor-in-chief and am every day writing there and working there. And also James O'Keefe was there, who's spectacular. He was showing off his new book, which I can't wait to read personally. He's with Project Veritas. It was a great interview, and Lydia was there. She's a producer, and Tim was there. I love those guys. It's a lot of fun. And my Twitter is at Libby Emmons, and that's also my my Getter handle as well.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Libby. We hope to talk to you soon. Keep up the great work. Guys, when we get back, we'll take some more of your calls, 844-500-4242. I want to talk a little bit about Alec Baldwin. He's back in the news. He's crazier than ever, and he's getting sued again. So what else do you need to know? That's a pretty good tease, I think.
Consider the source.
True. You should consider that I am the source here, but I still think you're going to like this story. We'll be right back. BOGO is back for 1 week only for the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. You've been waiting for it, and now it's here. You've always wondered if the Thunderstorm Air Purifier works, and this is the best time to find out. A lot of people ask me if this works, and I'm going to give you an example of when I used it. We made chicken the other night. It was breaded, kind of fried, crispy chicken. It was delicious. And then about 10 minutes later, the oil, the frying oil just started to seep all over. And like, you could smell it in the house. I went outside. I came back in. I said, we're in one of those houses that smells and we don't really realize it smells until we walk outside and come back inside. So then as I was leaving for work, I just turned on the thunderstorm. Just turned it on for the day. And I came back. Smell was totally gone.
Yeah, and if you got any water in your basement over the rains we had over the last weekend, it's great for that, too, to get rid of that musty smell, because what it does is it ionizes the air. It sends out ions. That creates a super oxygen, and what that does is that eliminates. It doesn't just cover up. It eliminates any odors. It can eliminate allergens, pollutants, even some viruses, stuff that you don't want to be breathing, stuff that you want to be smelling. The thunderstorm is the way to go, and BOGO is the way to go to get it.
Absolutely, because BOGO, you buy one and you get one. This is only until Sunday the 23rd. This is only for my listeners. So go to EdenPureDeals.com and put in code GRACEBOGO. That's EdenPureDeals.com. Code word GRACEBOGO. Shipping is free. We'll be right back. We'll open up the lines. It's 844-500-4242. And we have Alec Baldwin in the news when we return. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. She's the friend you never knew you needed.
What? Did we just become best friends?
Yep.
Okay, make that best friend. It's Grace Curley.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. If you have not heard, Joe Biden will be giving a press conference at 4 o'clock. We are all waiting on bated breath to hear what our compassionate, empathetic, strong, moral leader is going to tell us, and really whether or not he's going to go through with it. I feel like, you know, until I see him behind that podium, I really do not know. Good luck to all of the reporters. I hope you get called on. Maybe you don't want to get called on first. That's usually a bad sign. If you're that weak of a journalist that Joe Biden trusts you to ask him a question, probably not a good sign for your career. But sixth or seventh, hey, you're doing something. So we will keep you posted if we learn more about that. We'll keep taking your suggestions for what the press should ask Joe Biden. But before we get to any of that, I wanted to do a quick update here on Alec Baldwin. For those of you who are new to the Grace Curley Show, I have slowly become kind of fascinated with Alec Baldwin. He's angry. We know that. Here's what we know. We know he's an angry, angry man, and he has been. He was angry pre-Trump. You know, Trump didn't break him. Trump did break him, but he was on the cusp to begin with. He was an angry guy. Who can forget?
This whole thing was staged.
Who can forget the angry voicemail he left his daughter? He seems like a person who has a lot to work on. Well, then the Rush shooting happens, and he's embroiled in all of this controversy where he was the producer of the film, he was an actor on the film, and he allegedly shot Halyna Hutchins. He claims he did not. He claims that the gun just went off on its own. Which I did not know guns could do that. Toby Leary tells me they don't usually do that, but far be it from us to fact check Alec Baldwin. So now he's being sued for something completely different. But here's what amazes me about this story. You know when you have a big problem happening, Jared? Like if you're in a lot of trouble, right? Let's say you were in a lot of trouble at work. You really messed up. You wouldn't start picking fights with other people that didn't have to do with that situation. You know, like you would just let that go, you know? You only take on as much as you can handle.
Right.
Not Alec. Alec, if he's fighting one person, he's fighting the world. So this story you have to kind of follow here. Do you remember Riley McCollum of Wyoming? He was one of the 13 U.S. service members killed in the August 26 bombing outside the Abbey Gate of Karzai International Airport, where they were processing would-be evacuees to be flown out of Afghanistan. So he was one of those 13 U.S. service members. Well, Alec Baldwin found one of Riley's sisters on Instagram and sent her a check for $5,000 for his widow, Janiyah Creighton, and their newborn. He told the sister the check was a tribute to a fallen soldier. All's good so far, right? Seems nice. But this month, Baldwin accused Royce of taking part in last year's riots in the nation's capital and called her an insurrectionist after she posted a photo on Instagram that she took that day at the Washington Monument. She posted the image on her page on January 1st ahead of the one-year anniversary. Royce, who attended a demonstration in support for President Trump, was not involved in the riots and was never accused of any crimes during the mayhem. Are you the same? Now, this is how nutty Alec Baldwin is. Are you the same woman I sent money to for your sister's husband who was killed during the Afghanistan exit? When I sent the money for your late brother out of real respect for his service to this country, I didn't know you were a January 6th rioter. If I were the sister, I would say, are you the guy who allegedly shot a woman and is denying it? Is that you?
Don't poke Alec too much, though. We know he's got a short temper and a quick trigger, allegedly.
He allegedly does. Included in the lawsuit, we're going to continue with this. Isn't this the nuttiest thing? This guy is already in a bleep storm of trouble, and he's like, you know what? I'm going to start a fight with someone on Instagram direct messaging.
Consider the source.
This guy needs Jesus. We'll be right back with more. It's the Grace Curley Show.
live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Welcome back, everyone. This is the Grace Curley Show. We actually got a lot of good questions on the text line for Joe Biden. My question is, where is the first feline, and does it have run of the White House? That's a good one. Also, we were talking a little bit about the hunger strikes. I didn't realize that was going to strike a chord with everyone so much. Grace, they're probably all vegans. Tease them with a salad. Hey, Grace.
Don't eat at all. Yes, nothing. Well, then guys, seriously, if we don't eat, we're probably going to faint. If we faint on the Oval, they're totally going to give us a form.
That would be really good. We get it then.
They would. They'd be busted if they didn't. Yeah, I reckon we'll faint by 12 o'clock.
Do you think?
Well, by midday at least.
Yeah,
that was from Summer Heights High. Yeah, another person says, hey, Grace, I would ask those hunger strike protesters which part of the voting restrictions bill they disagree with. They are probably clueless. Yeah. I would say so. I mean, God love you guys for being that dedicated, but I don't know. I just don't like being hungry. Maybe it's a me thing. Maybe I'm just... I like two scoops. I do. All right, so back to this Alec Baldwin thing. I'm going to kind of start from the beginning here, just in case anyone's just tuning in. Because Alec Baldwin news with my audience always seems to play well. People are interested in Baldwin. Let's backtrack. Alec Baldwin makes huge news when on his movie Rust, which I doubt we're ever going to see the final product of, God willing, he accidentally, I'm assuming, allegedly, I'm going to use a lot of those words right now, accidentally, allegedly, perhaps, maybe, shoots a woman. And this is very, very sad. This was a young woman, Alina Hutchins. She was a mother, by all accounts, beautiful, kind person, and she is now dead. And in no way, when I talk about Alec Baldwin, am I trying to downplay the tragedy involved in this. It was Alec Baldwin's moves after this that were so strange. So he gives like a roadside interview where he starts yelling at his wife and yelling at the reporters and going back and forth. He goes and does another cringy interview with George Stephanopoulos where he doesn't really take any blame for it, but he wants a lot of sympathy for being the victim. And all of this, and all in the meanwhile, his wife, who people probably know as Hilaria Baldwin, who was the person who pretended to be Spanish, but really she's from Massachusetts.
Cucumbers.
Yeah, she's like Hollywood's Elizabeth Warren. She kept on keeping on. She was on Instagram posting her kids on Halloween, telling people that her cat was lost, you know, the whole thing. So no one at the house of the Bidens decided to take any time off. They were like right there. We couldn't miss them because they wouldn't go away. And that's why I find this story so surprising. Because if I'm Alec Baldwin, I would be ruminating in all of my guilt. I'd be feeling so badly about what happened, how even if I didn't think it was my fault, how this woman is dead, I would be keeping my mouth shut. I would be trying to be a better person, trying not to judge people so hard, trying not to be so smug and condescending. And he does not go that route. Okay. So this is what he did. He decided to reach out. So after the 13 U.S. service members were killed in Afghanistan, thanks to the botched withdrawal overseen by our president, President Joe Biden. One of those service members was Riley McCollum of Wyoming. He was 20 years old. And after McCollum's death, Alec Baldwin found one of the Marine sisters, Royce, on Instagram. So Alec Baldwin sent her a check for $5,000 for his widow. So he sent the check to basically to Jaina Creighton, but through one of McCollum's sisters. For the widow and his newborn. The actor, Alec Baldwin, told Royce that the check was a tribute to a fallen soldier. But this month, Baldwin accused Royce, the sister, of taking part in last year's riots in the nation's capital and called her an insurrectionist after she posted a photo on Instagram that she took that day at the Washington Monument. She posted the image on her page on January 1st, so she was probably doing like a throwback, you know, this time last year, ahead of the one-year anniversary. Royce, who attended a demonstration in support of former President Donald Trump, was not involved in the riots and was never accused of any crimes during the mayhem. As we've learned since then, though, that doesn't really matter. In fact, you could be accused of partaking in the riots for simply having at one point supported Donald Trump. You didn't even need to be near the Capitol, and you could be accused of it.
All you had to do was buy a Lego set, and you were put on the most wanted list.
Have an American flag in the front of your house and maybe say, "Make America Great Again," you will probably be accused of being at the Capitol. So this was his message, okay? This guy is so weird. Are you the same woman I sent the money for your sister's husband who was killed during the Afghanistan exit? When I sent the money for your late brother, out of real respect for his service to this country, I didn't know you were a January 6th rioter. Included in the lawsuit were screenshots of the actor's messages, including one in which he accused her of being a January 6th rioter. But when I first read this, I'm like, all right, but how can they sue him? I mean, you can write a message to someone and say something that's not true. It's not that big of a deal. Oh, but Alec takes things. He's always been known to take things up a notch. The sister pushed back at the actor, telling him that protesting is legal in the United States and that she has already been interviewed by the FBI. You know how it was legal when people were having that summer of love, Alec, which I don't think you had any issue with? It's legal to protest the United States as well, even if it's not for Black Lives Matter. That's just me. That wasn't the sister. That's just me. Now, this is Alec Baldwin, because the only thing he loves more than lecturing in an interview or on TV or on SNL is lecturing privately on a DM on Instagram. Your activities resulted in the unlawful destruction of government property, the death of a law enforcement officer. Do we really think he should be accusing someone else of killing someone? Am I the only one? Jared, you know what I'm going to need right now. I feel like I'm taking crazy pills. The lack, the stunning lack of self-awareness to write this down. I talk about this a lot with Howie. It's one thing to say something. I say things on the air sometimes. I go, oh, man, that didn't come out right. I could have not said that. That wasn't really true. When you type something out, you have to think about it. And then after you think about it and you type it out, you have to click send. And he did all three of those things. And this is what he came out with.
I don't understand how someone can have so little self-awareness.
This guy is insane. All right, so he says, your activities resulted in the unlawful destruction of government property, the death of a law enforcement officer, an assault on the certification of the presidential election. I reposted your photo. Good luck.
What?
He also reposted Royce's photo on his Instagram account, which has 2.4 million followers, and mentioned her involvement in the January 6th protest. Royce, now this is where the lawsuit comes in, because it's one thing to direct message someone, but he put this woman on blast. He decided to sick his 2.4 million followers, which, P.S., people who are still following Alec Baldwin, you can imagine that those are quality people. Those are really great people.
Well, they're afraid they'll get shot if they don't follow him.
Royce was soon hit with hostile, aggressive, hateful messages from Baldwin's followers. Alec Baldwin's followers aren't nice people. I'm shocked. Including get raped and die, worthless bleep. Your brother got what he deserved.
Classy.
These are some nice, classy Alec Baldwin fans. Baldwin was allegedly misidentified Crane as an erectionist in an Instagram account, although she was not in D.C. that day. People then began sending hateful and threatening messages to the widow. Baldwin, some users called on Baldwin to get a refund of the $5,000 he donated to the family. And this is what in the lawsuit against him, this is very interesting. In the lawsuit against him, the family's attorney said this: I think it's worth noting, too, that his social media is five times the population of your state. The family's attorney, Dennis Prostalone, told the Star Tribune, either he knew what would happen and he wanted it to happen, or he just didn't think about it. Well, I mean, that's always the question with Alec Baldwin. Did he want something to happen? Did he not think about it?
The picture may have just posted itself. We don't know.
And the messages type themselves.
Anything can happen.
It's so true. And he is the victim in all of this. I hope that woman wins her lawsuit. What a jerk.
This is what she gets for tricking him into sending money to her.
It's like, at what point in your life do you go, maybe I should stop fighting with everyone and look inward? Maybe I'm the problem. Maybe I need to be a bit kinder. Put down. How about this? All right. So one time when I was younger, this is embarrassing, but I asked someone out on a date via text and it didn't work out. The person said no. And then I kind of spiraled. And then I texted someone else about the person that I had asked out. And I accidentally sent the text to the wrong person. So you can imagine, it was a bleep storm. And I came downstairs and I was like, I sent the text to the wrong guy. And he's, you know what my mom said to me? Put the freaking phone down. Give me the phone. She took the phone. She took it away from me. She said, you do not need this right now. You cannot handle this. Someone should have taken Alec Baldwin's phone away from him 10 years ago. Actually, let's look up the date when he left his daughter that horrible voicemail. That was the day that someone should have said, listen, buddy, I'm going to do you a big favor. And I'm taking away the cell phone. And if you want to make a call, you can really think about it. Think about it for 5 or 10 minutes, and then we'll let you make the call. But you cannot handle this technology. He is a disaster with this thing. It's amazing. Now, of course, as I tell you all this, I should mention, you might want to consider the source. This is Grace Curley telling you
this.
Looks
like it was 2007 that he left that message.
And he's been just doing damage ever since. He's just one of those people. He never knows when to put the phone away. 844-500-4242. Also, just a quick update here on Fauci's damning emails. There was a good piece by Steve Miller today in The Spectator where he says that the emails surround a now infamous February 1 conference call in 2020 that involved Collins, Fauci, and EcoHealth Alliance head Peter Daszak, who came under scrutiny for receiving grant money from Fauci's NIAID to conduct gain-of-function research in China. Daszak is perhaps the most important figure of the pandemic and has received generous protection from Fauci for reasons that Fauci has not yet explained. So on that February call, several scientists expressed their concern that COVID-19 had engineered characteristics and had possibly even been made in a lab. After the call, Collins and Fauci set out to downplay this theory in public and squash any dissent in the media. I wonder why. And why doesn't he ever have to answer for it?
I'm pretty sure he told Rand Paul that was incorrect, but it seems like, once again, Dr. Senator Rand Paul was correct.
Yeah, who are you going to believe? Fauci? Are you going to believe Fauci or the emails in front of your own eyes? I don't know.
Dr.
That's
Fauci,
up to you.
Give me that ouchie.
844-500-4242. We will be right back. We have so much more to get to. We have David Harsanyi coming up in the 2 o'clock, and we are still waiting on Joe Biden's highly anticipated press conference. I don't know what he's going to ask, but I'm sure, or what he's going to get asked, but I'm sure the questions are going to be thought-provoking, to say the least. We'll be right back. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Grace Curley Show. Let's go to the phone lines now. Adam, you're next with Grace. Go ahead, Adam.
Grace, I'd just like to congratulate President Biden becoming this year's poster child for the PETA principle. He really has become more and more incompetent, if that's even possible. But I think he's number one in the PETA principle.
Joe Biden's decline, I think, happened faster than a lot of people even predicted. I knew it was going to be bad. I heard a cut from Trump the other day where he was saying something very similar, where he said, you know, I told everyone we were going to turn into Venezuela, and I said it, but I didn't really mean it. I kind of, you know, in other words, he was saying, I said it to be dramatic, you know, there was a little bit of truth to it, but it was more for an impact. And now even Trump is looking around going, whoa, I knew I was going to be right. I just didn't know I was going to be this right, this fast. We are waiting for Joe Biden. He's going to give a press conference at 4 o'clock, and so we'll wait with that. I don't know if it's going to be in the fake White House, the real White House.
I think it's going to be in the where he gave the last one, kind of the long hallway that comes out to the podium with the flags.
So the real, the real White House.
Presumably, that could be the fake whatever that's called.
Yeah, unless they've made a new one of those. Who knows?
In front of a green screen in a Delaware basement, Wayne's World style.
Today's poll question is brought to you by Fairway Financial. Preparation and planning is the key to your retirement future. Visit fairwayfinancial.net. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
How long will Biden's press conference last? Under 30 minutes, under an hour, or over an hour?
I'm going to say over 30, under an hour.
That is currently at 30%. 66 believe it will be under 30 minutes, and 4% say over an hour.
Yeah, and it's interesting to hear the left's take now on as things are plummeting and Joe Biden's trying to come out and, you know, save face. It's interesting to watch some of these people face reality. And Joe Scarborough had a moment of realism today as he said this, cut 13.
He was the only moderate. He ran as a moderate. He won as a moderate. Every single progressive got rejected. Those debates were crazy. They were talking about re-implementing busing. They were so far left. They wanted to give health care to illegal immigrants. Like, it was so, come across the border, we'll give you health care. It was so wildly out of the mainstream of where about 80% of Americans are. Biden ran as a moderate. Biden won as a moderate. Biden decided, and his people around him, I guess, decided that he was going to govern as a leftist. It has failed miserably in the expectations game.
In the expectations game? It's failed miserably in real life. IRL, as we call it here. Yeah, and is anyone surprised? I have a very interesting conversation coming up where I want to get everyone's feel on this. What are they going to do for the next 10 months? That's my next piece in Spectator. Is the Democrats have 10 months with basically a dead agenda. Are they going to try to break this bill down a little bit, have some small wins? Are they going to stomp and wallow in this for 10 months? Are they going to try to get Biden out of there, replace him with someone else? I don't know. But I don't think the next 10 months are going to be fun if you're a Democrat, because everything, you've got moderate Democrats who are like, oh gosh, please just let this stop here. No more. Stop here and just ride it out till November. And then you've got the AOCs in the Democrat Party who are saying, we were promised cancellation of student loans. We were promised building back better. We were promised abolishing the filibuster. Where's all our stuff? We'll be right back with David Harsanyi. We're going to talk a little bit more about this and so much more. Don't go anywhere.